Blog Talk Radio.
For Truth Show with Richard Talk to Me Guy and Sherry Edwards. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, Richard. Today is the second day of a 5-day professional training class what we're doing on bio diet, and it is so hard to believe how sophisticated these people are. They have these backgrounds for health and wellness, and they have this passion to help other people. It's just mind-boggling. We've gotten into some discussions today they're in research mode. And usually we just have to pound this stuff into people, and they want to learn it, but it's still hard for them. These guys are picking it up. They're helping each other. They're being teachers to each other. It's like we've turned some glorious corner. So it's a wonderful day here in Ohio.
That's very exciting. I love that kind of atmosphere. That's always fun.
We are simultaneously broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio and also through WebEx. If you want to join us and watch the show, and this is going to be a show to watch because we're going to show a lot of information that's very visual, pictures worth 1,000 words. So go to our site, soundhealthoptions.com, go to radio, and this is Direction for Truth. Why is it important for you, Richard, because you can't answer for everybody, why is it important about the truth, or is it?
I will answer that question in 1 second. I'll finish that other thought, though, that for people who are just listening on Blog Talk Radio, you can, if you go to that Sound Health Options and then the Radio tab and then the Direction for Truth tab, you can click on that, and that will show you the link to join Sherry's WebEx feed, where you're going to see a bunch of stuff and you see a chat there. Or there's also a link to join me at Blog Talk Radio, where I have a quieter chat, active but quieter, the one at WebEx is really crazed in a good way. And also for people who just want to listen on the Blog Talk Radio and watch WebEx, you can call in here at 347-850-1407. So in response to the why do I do this, it's because I like to learn. And I was just listening to some people earlier talking about how to learn something really well. And one of the ways to learn it really well is to help others understand it or to teach. And so for me, it's a learning, you know, every time I do a show, or we do a show, I learn stuff. And I like stuff. I find stuff really interesting.
And we've been doing this, what, for 4 or 5 years?
Yeah.
And you're still learning new stuff?
I know, it's shocking. I mean, I watched you the other day with Dr. Apsley. You know, you like figured something out in the background. You had an aha moment and you suddenly figured something out. So I think we're just, you know, I think that learning is really, I think it's great for our brains. Keeps our brains, you know, supple and the synapses going, oh, wow, what's that? And I love it.
I wish I could clone me, one to clean the house, one to go shopping, one to teach class, one to do clinical, one to read a book. I wish there was more of me. There's so much that I need to do and want to do, and I just can't get to all of it all the time. I want more. I want more time. Can you arrange that, Richard?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll get right on that. I'll step in my transporter tube, go to the future, and bring that back.
Well, the name of the show, we've titled it, Do We the People Have a Right to the Truth? Do you think that's correct? Would you argue with me about it?
I do think the title's correct. And I'll point this out in the announcements, a couple of the announcements I have, is that my question when I was, because I make notes before the show and set things up. Somebody's mic is open? I'm hearing myself, is whose truth is it? Because everybody has a truth, or they think it's their truth, and we see this particularly this time of year in the political mashup, that each of those candidates thinks they have a truth. So truth is, I think we have the right, but what does that mean? What is the truth? How do we find the truth? That's really
well,
my question
people,
at this point.
These people that just mowed down 14 innocent people, they thought they had every right to do that from a religious perspective. But there's a lot more people out there saying that wasn't the right thing to do. It was not the truth that you had a right to do that. So do we do it from the perspective of how many people think it's right or wrong? Whoa, you're silent.
No, yeah, I'm trying to think about that. I think people do it. I think it's a whole pile of things. That's the tricky part. It's like these people, these radicalized killers, whether they be Christians or KKK or Muslims or, you know, any radicalized group or individual who's radicalized in their mind, they get a whole pile of things in their mind and then think they're going to act out and do something that in their mind is correct. So I think it's tricky. You know, it's tough stuff to say, you know, in their mind, they were doing some kind of truthful act. You know, when the guy blew up Oklahoma, that he thought he was doing some kind of correct, truthful act. I'm not saying that's right. I'm just saying I think in their minds, they think it's the truth. So truth is, wow, I don't know, more nano voice all around.
Are they sane according to everybody else's perspective?
Well, in my opinion, anytime you make a choice to take someone else's life, you're not sane. I don't know that that's a good definition, but in my mind, I think that's kind of like, once you start thinking that you have the power to take someone else's life, something about you is unhinged.
What if somebody was raping your child, Richard?
That could be a separate issue. That's more of a rash, you know, that's a reactive, like if somebody was hurting a loved one, I would act out in a very aggressive and some people might call it a violent way. But I wouldn't just go out and sit on the, you know, overpass and decide to pick off people as they drive by. But if you threaten or, well, not threaten, threaten is one thing. I would defend, but if you were actually harming a loved one of mine, poof. It's almost no holds barred. I'm not going to try to reason with. I'm going to stop someone and then have a conversation later or have them taken away.
I could hear you thinking, well, leave it to Sherry to throw some at me.
Sure.
I didn't want an answer. Well, Richard, we have a full-packed show. We're going to talk about Hillary, and that's by request. We're going to talk about Obama and how he really feels about ISIS. And then we're going to talk about Trump to find out why he's taking the stand he is on immigration. And we're going to be using the nano voice. So if people want to follow along, go to our site, soundhealthoptions.com. Go to downloads, download that free program. There's steps there of how to use it. Doesn't work on a Mac, but you can learn to do the same thing that we're doing. Yes, we're going to give you information, but we're really going to teach you how to do it. But I know you have a couple of announcements before we start, and I have one little one. So
okay.
You want to go first?
Sure. I'll start out with, and these are both, in an odd way, I was thinking about it before the show, in an odd way, these both do have to do with, you know, do we have the right to know the truth, and then whose truth is that? And this first one, this is the one that you have up, I believe, on a tab, Sherry, with that amazing footage. So roll that footage. It's only going to run for 30 seconds. This is a methane gas leak in Southern California in the San Fernando Valley. It's the Aliso Canyon Ranch methane gas. So what you're seeing is, on that footage, is you're seeing plumes. This is speeded up 60 times what it's actually happening. But that is like a monstrous plume of methane gas that has been happening at the rate of 50,000 kilograms per hour. That is the equivalent of pollution in the atmosphere of 160,000 cars per year. This has increased California's methane gas pollution rate by over 25%. This has been happening since October. The company that controls that methane gas is estimating it's going to take them another 4 months. Their solution seems to be digging another well to cap that or do whatever. I don't know the, you know, I don't know that kind of words. But, you know, meanwhile, there's a town that's had to been evacuated. People are getting sick from the smell. You know, you can't see. The only reason that you smell the methane gas is because it has an additive in it so that you can actually do, you do smell it. Otherwise, it's an odorless gas. But people are getting sick. You know, who knows what's going to happen. This particular website is about a, you know, the Porter Ranch, which is an area near there that's being affected by this, is suing this company. But meanwhile, all these people are sick. Who knows, once they do finally win the lawsuit, which they must, what are people going to get for long-term health effects? Do we know long-term health effects of long-term methane gas, you know? And it's got, it's
whatever
so
they
bad.
Are, they lie about it.
Yeah, of course. And this is now so bad that the FAA has just said to airlines that they're not to travel over this area. And the reason they're saying that is because they're concerned about pilots being exposed to high levels of methane and getting sick or spaced out or stupid or, and I don't know what, but I mean, the FAA has now stepped in saying, oh, this is another, like, you know, let's make it so you can't fly over this area because it's hazardous to you.
Or blow them up.
So it just blows my mind. This just blows my mind. I mean, I guess this could be ignited. I mean, it's methane gas. It's gas. It's vaporized liquid gas. So if this was ignited, this would be very ugly. It's bad. And I have heard nothing about this in the news up until today. And I listen to quite a bit of news. So this is in the category for me of, all right, so the media is controlled by people who fund the media, which means advertisers. And those advertisers probably have lobbyists. And so has there been like a piece of paper folded in half that's gone on to all the networks that say, let's not talk about this? So whose truth
right
is it?
Right beside it is a smaller video, an interview at KTLA, Lynette Romero and Chris Burrows, attorney activists Aaron Bromovich and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. discusses massive methane leak that has prompted fears. So you could get more information than us just looking at it. It's quite beautiful, but it's there on the same link, and I will put that link in the chat for people.
I just put that in chat for Blog Talk Radio. And then the other one, I'll be much shorter, is that, and this is again in the in my category of whose truth is this, CNN just announced yesterday that Rand Paul was going to be added to tonight's debates. And what I'm talking about has nothing to do with whether, in my mind, Rand Paul should be in the debate or not. That's not what this is about. This is about whose truth is this. Rand Paul, some people were looking at this and said, Rand Paul does not match the criteria that CNN has stated for candidates to be able to be on the debate. Or they have to be in certain polls, they have to be at certain levels, and, you know, it's a whole grid work of, like, you have to match all these criteria to be on the debate. CNN, it's a privately held company, they can do whatever they want. But they had this statement that, like, these are the criteria, we're really following criteria, this is what we're doing. Decided that Rand Paul should be in the debate tonight, so he's in the debate. So truth is a tricky thing.
I was showing Ben Carson, but here is Rand Paul. And the reason I was showing Carson is, again, he has threatened to drop out of the whole race because he was called to a meeting about a brokered convention that if not one or two people come up on top, that this convention of people is going to decide who gets to run on the presidential ballot. Like this room full of people, that's not fair. It's we the people, and I think that's why Trump is so popular. It's he's saying things that the people want heard. But, again, I don't believe in the last decade we've ever had an honest election. It seems like every one of them are fraught with fraud and who wins. And look at what happened even with the Chicago mayor, Rahm Emanuel. There was some kind of runoff. The other guy won, so he forced a runoff, and then he won. So, you know, I don't put anything past anybody. If the right guy didn't win, do a runoff, and we'll get the right guy in there. So it's just my opinion, by whose truth, again, they're going to say, or this brokered convention is going to say, only the political people can be here, Trump and Carson and Fiorina, Farina can't be here. So there, I'm on my high horse too about this, or my soapbox. I don't think it's a high horse to want justice. But again, who's justice?
Yeah.
So a good thing that we'd like to show you, we did a video about radiation and what's going on with it, and that's on Vimeo, and I don't remember, oh, is radiation killing us one cell at a time? And this was Dr. Apsley last Sunday. He also talked about vaccines. So we promised to put up this information about vaccines. So go to downloads on our site. Oh, and bonus software is supposed to be up here, and it's not. But by tomorrow morning, bonus software will be here. Let me see if I can refresh and see if bonus software is there. Isn't it F5 to refresh?
Not in my world.
Well, it's supposed to be under downloads, and it is a free software that will show you what you've been exposed to by vaccines. If you've got a vaccine this year, California, Switzerland, Brisbane, and Phuket, I think, are the four for this year. So we have created a software so you could tell whether or not you have been exposed, and it's absolutely free. So downloads, and it'll just say bonus software. And the textbook is there to run it, all the instructions. There's other pieces of software, actually three pieces of software you'll need, Abacus, Audacity, and then I don't know what it's called, Countervailing the Season, and then putting a different date on it. So this one would be 2015, 2016. I think they kept the same name. They just changed the date on it. So we want everybody to be able to have that. And we did a video about it, and that's probably on our Vimeo station also. So on with the show. Of the three things I mentioned, Richard, which would most interest you? Hillary's health, and that was by somebody asking us about Hillary's health and did we know anything. And I'm not sure we're even allowed to say anything, but I'll try to provide
some insight. That's really interesting, yeah. Yes.
Whether or not
can we talk about
fit?
That? Can we talk about that? Yikes.
I don't know.
Why stop now?
The other one. Well, I'd like to start with Obama. Because when I was doing this and looking for things about ISIS and what he was thinking about ISIS and how he's changed his tune, there's a really big difference in his voice. Now, listen for a lack of harmonics, a lack of smoothness in his voice. Now, the first thing I'm going to play, unless you have some questions first, Richard.
Nope, I'm ready.
The first one I'm going to play, this is him talking about unveiling his immigration. Now, this is at 2 minutes and 40 seconds, but I want to run back just a little bit because the news is announcing here that he is doing this without the permission of the people.
Some believe he's overstepped, are vowing to challenge this. So even as the president prepares to speak tonight, his legal team is preparing to go to court to defend his authority to do this. As one of his top advisors told me tonight, this is absolutely supported by the law. You can expect Republicans will challenge that.
The president will defend his action tonight. Republicans in Congress, and as we pointed out a moment ago, some Democrats believing he should have waited until the new Congress is in place to work with them. But President Obama addressing the nation on his new immigration policy, moving forward, taking his own action and believing that he has the right to do this, tweeting a moment ago about what he's about to address the nation on immigration policy.
My fellow Americans, tonight I'd like to talk with you about immigration. For more than 200 years, our tradition of welcoming immigrants from around the world has given us a tremendous
Can you hear how his words flow into one another? And his consonants, the D's and the T's, they aren't sharp? I didn't expect to find this. This is a one of him talking about ISIL or ISIS, whichever one he's calling it. Listen to his words. These are, he's speaking them, but they are not his words.
Today, the United States and our armed forces coalition in our mission to destroy the terrorist group ISIL. As I outlined in my speech to the nation last weekend, our strategy is moving forward with a great sense of urgency on four fronts: hunting down and taking out these terrorists, training and equipping Iraqi and Syrian forces to fight ISIL on the ground.
Can you hear a difference in that speech? One is crisp. He does have some words that run together, but it's the sound of the words. He's running the letters together. I'll play a little bit of each. This is what tells you more than anything else that somebody is speaking words that are not of their heart, they're not of their being. This is from his heart.
Advantage over other nations. It's kept us youthful, dynamic, and entrepreneurial. It has shaped our character as a people with limitless possibilities.
In this other one, he even, let me turn the sound up a little bit. He even mispronounces some of the words.
Stopping ISIL's operations by disrupting the recruiting, financing, and propaganda. And finally, persistent diplomacy to end the Syrian civil war so that everyone can focus on destroying ISIL.
Richard, can you hear the difference, or am I just out here in Never Never Land?
No, I hear the difference. I hear a different texture in his voice.
Can you put a name on it? I call it jitter. In one, he has jitter in his voice, and that tells me he's real. Without the jitter, the voice moving up and down, it's not his. I'll play it one more time. This is him reading, as far as I can tell, every word. And I can also tell you he probably has not even read the statement. And then I'll show you how to look in the vocal print where it shows that someone is forcing him to do this.
I just had a chance to meet with my National Security Council as part of our regular effort to review and constantly strengthen.
That was one sentence that was the truth. Let me see if I can pull it back just a little bit. I just met with my Security Council. That was the truth.
On our efforts, and I want to thank Secretary Carter, Chairman Dunford, and Vice Chairman Selva for hosting us and for their leadership of our men and women in uniform.
That was truthful. It had flavor. It had more than Christmas to it. I wish I knew what that consistency was.
Yeah. We heard from General Austin, who is leading the military campaign in the region, as well as General Botel, whose special operations forces are playing a vital role in this fight. I want to provide all of you a brief update on our...
There, he just switched to the untruthfulness.
Progress against the ISIL core in Syria and Iraq, because as we squeeze its heart, we'll make it harder for ISIL to pump its terror and propaganda.
We'll make it harder for ISIL to pump its propaganda. It's like he's reading. It's not his stuff. Now, this is his stuff from his soul, from his heart, something he believes in.
People not trapped by our past, but able to remake ourselves as we choose. But
and I can't describe that quality, but if you can hear it here, you can begin to tell when someone is not telling the truth. So as we look at his vocal print, and this is what I was talking about before, that we're going to be using this nano voice that's free to all of you, and we will be putting this up as an article very shortly. But as you look at his words, you're seeing red, which is reactive. A sharp means from his soul or a non-physical reality. And the D sharp, which is yellow, is intellectual brokering of information. and there's big gaps in between the columnar view that we're looking at here. I'm sorry for those of you who are just listening. We're looking at a blue grid that has C, C-sharp, D, D-sharp, and so forth, 12 notes in columns. And every time he said a phoneme, a piece of sound, how, now, brown, cow, that would be four hits. And it would show up on this grid because the computer takes it and puts it on this grid according to what frequency the person is speaking. And in this case, Obama has a tremendous amount of frequency missing from his voice. And one of the things that is very different from this time, from any other time he's been speaking, is he's had a lot of information up in a fantasy layer, which is, it's showing here, with just the number one. There's a zero, which is middle C, minus one, one octave below middle C, which is where most women speak with zero and minus one. Sometimes they'll speak in plus one, but mostly that's where kids speak, little kids' high voices. Obama now, and this hasn't been true for years, he now has a gut level to his voice, which means he is speaking from a gut level, something he knows is the truth. And he has the A-sharp and the D-sharp together. This shows us that he is processing information from a gut level. Now, I don't know who is forcing him to do this, but something or someone is forcing him to say these things. And the more you listen to it, the more you realize he's not the boss anymore. Somebody has really taken over, and they're forcing him. Listen to him stumble over these names.
To the rest of the world. This fall, even before the revolting attacks in Paris and San Bernardino, I ordered new actions to intensify our war against ISIL. These actions, including more firepower and special operations forces, are well underway. This continues to be a difficult...
Richard, do you think maybe it's the distance between the words? Is that what I'm hearing? Can you hear any of that, Jeff? The distance between the words?
Yeah. I think there is a certain cadence. It seems like his cadence changes or his ability to, you know, it sounds, I would say, more articulate between the two. I can't quite come up with it. There is more space to it, but there's something to the way it's presented. It could also be, I wonder if there's a fatigue factor involved, you know, when you've been up for 72 hours trying to figure out something or that it exacerbates the speaking.
When he's looking, it seems to me he's being forced because he knows he's going to get impeached if he doesn't do something, because people absolutely do not feel safe and even going to a mall or a school, and people are blaming it on him. He has to make the choice that he has done something, and listen to him brag about things going on at Guantanamo, or what did go on, and some of the prisoners.
We'll fight. As I said before, ISIL is dug in, including in urban areas, and they hide behind civilians, using defenseless men, women, and children as human shields. So even as we're relentless, we have to be smart, targeting ISIL surgically with precision. At the same time, our partners on the ground are rooting ISIL out town by town, neighborhood by neighborhood, block by...
Precision, not precision. What is that difference? If we could put that in a computer program someplace, if we could identify it, then we'd be able to identify this almost immediately. And in that case, Richard, what do you think the world would be if everybody knew when you were telling a lie?
Very different.
Would there be a lot of divorces?
Yeah, that could be. I don't know how we'd ever have a political debate again.
What about our legal system? You know, people are putting things in the chat of what they think this is. Prisoner of war voice. His tones have changed. Can you imagine if that happened to a politician? They couldn't lie. I'm sure they would be shocked. It was called Liar, Liar. Oh, they're talking about a movie with Jim Carrey where he couldn't lie. But I put these two links in the chat. And if we can somehow capture that, you can listen to commercials. You can listen to your kids. When that quality is gone, and to me, his words feel very crisp here.
By block. That is what this campaign is doing.
And his voice hears or sounds very drippy here, like it's wider and fatter.
Today, our immigration system is broken, and everybody knows it.
Isn't that an incredible quality? This is the best example I've ever seen or heard of this. I've done a lot with commercials. And does this person sound like they're really believing in what they're selling? I wish there was a way that I could pass this on to all of you. But at the same time, it's not a pleasant thing to be able to tell when any and everyone in your life is either lying or not telling you the truth, because you have to refrain and you can't. Well, I speak for me. When I know something about somebody, I don't confront them with it because I know it in a way that isn't acceptable. I know it by dropping in and becoming privileged to their inner secrets that they don't want to share yet. I've said this on the show before. One of my hardest times in doing that was when my daughter, my 16-year-old daughter, was pregnant, and I waited till she told me. Your employees are afraid of you. People are afraid of you in negotiations because you feel and hear things in their voice. And I think we could all do that once upon a time. And I think when lying became beneficial and the church and the government then started to manipulate us and they would say, no, I don't believe that. I didn't say that. And the words said something very different from the sound. I think we begin to lose the ability. And I would like everybody to have that ability back. I'm looking, there's lots and lots of chat going on here. The exopolitics people believe when people ascend to the fifth dimension, communication is telepathic and everybody can tell if you're lying because you can know what they're thinking. It is not, I don't turn it on all the time, but this is not a pleasant thing. One of the things that happened on stage, somebody came up to me and said, well, you're too ugly to be on stage. Well, how do you respond to that? Well, you're no Robert Redford either. When you really can tell what they're trying to say to you behind those very hurtful words, you're too ugly to be on stage. It wasn't about me. It was about him. And when I finally questioned him about it, well, what do you think I could do about it? Because that's the best thing. Somebody says something negative, hand it right back to him. He said, nothing. You look like my mother. I can't remember exactly what he said. When I said, well, what could I do about it? He said, nothing. You look like my mother and I hate her too. That's what he said. You look like my mother and I hate her too. Now, this is a little guy that's maybe 5 foot tall and maybe 3 feet wide, and he has a balding head and stringy, filthy, dirty hair down his back, and he's telling me I'm ugly? When people come to you with their truth like that, more often than not, it's their issue, not yours. And if you take the bait, then you think there's some truth in what they're saying. But if you hand it back to them when you realize where they're really coming from, I think the world would be a better place. But that's just my esoteric speech for the day. Any comment about that, Richard?
I would actually add a little bit of a note here regarding the telepathic. When I was in high school, I wrote a science paper about the fact that I thought that cavemen had telepathic communications as a normal thing. And I think that we were learned how to communicate in images telepathically, not unlike how I think animals communicate.
Yes.
But I think it's tricky when that goes away, you know, that you're just listening to somebody's words. And like you say, I have hung around people who are, like Pam Mosley, you know, more psychics, who know when people are lying. And it's not a fun thing to necessarily know. It makes, you know, you're reading a whole other level of conversation, and knowing that all the time is not so fun.
It's not fun when they're having an affair, or they think you're ugly, or it's things that can really hurt. So getting to really know you and where you're coming from, you have to be thin-skinned to pick it up, but thick-skinned to be able to handle it. And it makes people afraid of you. But I think lying also makes people very afraid of you, because they don't know what to believe, and they're very uneasy about it. So one of the other ones was Donald Trump and what he really thinks about immigration. Can you guess where he's really coming from?
I think the same place he comes from, everything. He just shoots from the hip. He opens his mouth and words fall out.
I thought that too until I looked at his vocal print. Here's
okay.
Where we took it from.
One of the two shooters was born here in the United States, raised here in the United States, believe was radicalized here in the United States.
Right.
So then how would you stop that then? Because you're talking about immigration.
Well, she came in. She came in and probably radicalized him. She came in. She went to a school. People that knew her said she was very radical. And she came in, okay? It's a problem.
But even without the help of someone, a woman, to come in, there are people who have been born here and who have been radicalized.
You have groups, cells, call them whatever you want, like her and her husband, all over the place. But here's the problem. You had many people that knew what was happening. You had the parents. You had the mother. The mother had guns in her car. You had the mother looking at the pipe bombs all over the apartment. You had the person that said it was politically correct, or what was the expression they used? Profiling.
They didn't want to report, because they were afraid.
You know what happened? They said, why didn't you see this? And they said, oh, we did see it, but it was profiling. They knew. That was nonsense. That was an excuse that they made because they obviously saw what was happening. You had the person that bought the guns for him. You had all these people knowing about.
He has the flavor in his voice of truth, at least a truth that he believes in. Here is his file where his numbers are jumping all over the place. Now, there's some places it's not connected, especially his F sharp, a balance between perception and action, and the note of G, which is making everything have a useful outcome for the benefit of the people. Those two things are missing here. And if you want that chart, go to soundhealthoptions.com, go to downloads, and go to Nano Voice, and that chart is there for you. But when you look at the columnar view of what is happening here, most of his information is in the note of B, and it's blue, and that means emotional, and the note of B for the people. Now, I have seen this before. I've seen it with Omar Gaddafi. When the United States decided to kick him out of power, and he made a speech and said, my people love me. I love them. I will die for them to have the right to be free. Look at this. This is Gaddafi you're looking at here. total blew very high, 333 hits of blue. And he did die, and he died fighting for the freedom of his people. Look at Trump. I was amazed at this. It's 359, I think it says here. Note of blue. You think from his blowhard attitude that he was saying this just to be blowing off, because that's his mode. His mode actually is looking to the government to run it like you would a business. And when you go up against a competitor, you try to undermine the competitor if you don't have faith that what you're bringing is something good. And that's the way he's tried to deal with this campaign. He's trying to undermine people and cut them off like he did on that TV show, The Apprentice. Degrade people and make them stronger. That's what he believes. But look at this. I was flabbergasted that this was for the people. Then turn around and think about all the things that he is saying for the people. He doesn't really want the job as president. He just wants to dictate how the job is done. And as we look at his that's really obvious. When you look at his numeric view, 192 here and 28, I guess it isn't 300, 200 and something. You're looking at this very, very high B, and the rest of it doesn't hardly even show up because it's so far off. 16 to 192, 63 to 192. This vocal print said he did this for your benefit, for the benefit and the love of the people. And his next highest number is 63, normal's 42, and that's in a male octave of aggressiveness for words. So that's where he's coming from, aggressive words. He also has some fantasy up here in plus one, so D sharp, information broker. He believes his information is going to be for the benefit of the people. I think Trump is saying what the people are really thinking, and he just has enough money that he can do it without thinking about retaliation, that they're going to come back on him and arrest him or send a drone after him or send the IRS after him. Are you surprised, Richard?
I'm kind of surprised because it's emotional, and I don't think of him that way, but the more as I think about him as a personality, I can see him reacting to anything emotionally. I've seen other interviews, and older interviews, even when he was younger, and how somebody did a long article in the late 90s on him and had spent a week with him and said that they were really stunned at how he would walk through a room and just bark commands at people. And that was kind of it. He would just, like, say, do this. That's the way he runs his empire, is like, do this, get this done, and then when you're wrong, you're fired. So he's very much like that person on The Apprentice. You're fired. And so he makes emotional decisions. He may not have anything to back them up, but he makes emotional decisions.
If you look at what he said about Carly Fiorina, he said she was too ugly, and she turned it around and made a... Hold on a second. I cannot stand that noise. Please, can you turn it off? Thank you. Carly Fiorina, he said, she's too ugly. She made a commercial about it, about the face of women, and she turned it into a positive. And behind the scenes, I think his idea was, I made her stronger. And that's what you do in business with your people. That's what parents, at least when I was growing up, they allowed... I don't even know how to say that. they pushed me to the point where I didn't want to go to try to make me stronger. And if I got an A, they said, why didn't you get an A+? Nothing was ever good enough, and their excuse was, after I got older, they were doing it to make me the best I can be. So when you look at Trump's information, and I did this two or three times because I could not, oh, here's the one with 333 in it. Well, that's Gaddafi. Sorry, just a comparison. In looking at this, I am totally discombobulated from that noise, so I'm going to have to pull myself together here. So when you look at, he has a lot of information in aggressiveness, and especially 63, the note of the E, aggressiveness with words, but his words are information that's in an area of fantasy. So I look at this, I was shocked when I first looked at Trump and saw that he was coming to the presidency from a childlike perspective. I was in shock last time we looked at his voice in the previous campaign where it wasn't his words at all. He was doing this for someone else. He was, that's when he's bringing up the birther stuff. And did you hear that it just came out, his records from one of the universities came out, and he really did register as an Indonesian student, a foreign student? So I don't know where that's going to go on the news. But Trump does have some places missing, all of these gaps in his vocal print. That's what he is lacking. And he's lacking that perception and action, bringing both things together to make it for the benefit of people. He doesn't know how to do that physically, probably why he doesn't have a platform, but he certainly has a love of the people. That's enough to tell me that he's an okay guy. Now, I wouldn't want him as president, but he might be a good friend. That he would probably take care of me if I got into trouble. How much of what Trump says do you think the people really want to hear a politician saying?
Well, there's that line for me again between what media wants to spin because it makes good clicks. Because it really is, I mean, we're watching this debate. The debate is happening now on us behind CNN. Behind the scenes, they're looking at how many people are watching, what kind of revenues they're making, are the advertisers happy? This is a whole machine. I mean, I understand the theory is it's supposed to be a presidential election, but there's this whole other part of it that's back to if he says something outrageous, you know, if a Muslim leaves the country, they shouldn't be allowed back in. And then they take that and spin that and turn that into a spin cycle of news, then the advertisers are really happy about that. So it's a very tricky thing for me to perceive about what people really want to hear and what media takes and spins into, like, oh, my God, look at this, look at this, look at this. They pound the drum endlessly.
Well, his voice says he did it for the love of the people. I'd like to get that on the news.
That would be amazing.
Richard, when you are with a partner, would you tolerate the partner having an affair?
Nope.
Okay, now, there's three people left on the planet. You, your partner, and one other person, and the planet needs to be repopulated.
That's a TV show called The Last Man on Earth.
Would you have an affair then?
There is actually a TV show. I wouldn't call it, I mean, if it was about procreation, I wouldn't consider it to be a fair. There would be a conversation like, look, we need to repopulate the earth. What do you think we should do?
You would grudgingly service both of them, right?
Yeah, it's going to, you know, yeah. I can't imagine. I can't keep one relationship floating. So the idea of having an affair is mind-blowing to me to begin with.
Richard,
so, yes, I would.
Guys, You just heard him.
It happened.
But it depends on the circumstance. And there's so many things that Donald Trump says that are just outrageous and dumb. And I'm going to go back and look at him, and I'm going to see if he's coming from a heart full of love for the people. Well, granted, he has enough money to be educated and to be given good information. I don't know why he's coming across the way he is. You know, that's his thing. But after I saw him talk about no Muslims in the country, and really I probably would have said we need a better vetting process for these people who are threatening and killing us. I wouldn't have said carte blanche, no Muslims. We need a better vetting program. That's probably what he really meant, but that's not what he said. Maybe just to be outrageous. I don't know.
It certainly moved him up in the polls. That's what I mean is, you know, it moved him up in the polls. But again, that's hard to tell of how much of that is because of the spin cycle of how he says something that's outrageous and then he's on every news channel in the world saying that outrageous thing, so therefore more people see him. It's a tricky thing.
It's a good strategy. He's getting all this free publicity.
Yeah.
In the beginning, I thought he would drop out and hand over his stuff to someone else. Cruz is coming up. We said that 3 or 4 weeks ago, that Cruz was coming up fast, and now they're actually announcing it on the news. Okay, we only have a few minutes left, and I want to put this in here. I'm not sure how to put it in here. And one of the things that you can do with our vocal profiling is to look at somebody's wellness issues. And you look at what's too high, and in this case we have two things that are too high, and we're looking at Hillary's campaign where she was saying Black Lives Matter, and I'll let you listen to a little bit of that because it's the most truthful I have ever heard her. Now, she has G-sharp missing, but she has A-sharp and E very, very high and similar. And what have we told you all along about A sharp and E being equal? They're likely telling the truth. And so I thought I will use this truthful piece to see what her wellness issues are. Now, you're not allowed to talk about someone's health or reveal that. She's a public figure. So I am just going to compare her to vocal profiles that we have had of other people who have similar issues, because the big tenet that we found here is that people with similar issues have similar, if not identical, vocal profiles. But listen to her voice here as she is speaking to this man about Black Lives Matter.
And turning black bodies into profit. Mm-hmm. And the mass incarceration system mirrors an awful lot like the prison plantation system. Mm-hmm. It's the same. It's a similar thread, mm-hmm. right? And the challenges that are happening now, and why there's so much cohesion across the divide, the base, mm-hmm. than most other people, mm-hmm. than most, right? Now, David, what you're supposed to say? Like, how do you have a moment of reflection on how we treat black people?
Obviously, it's a very thoughtful question that deserves a thoughtful answer. And I can only tell you that I feel very committed to and responsible for doing whatever I can. I've spent most of my adult life focused on kids.
She said responsible for. At that moment, that was a piece of the truth, but she was thinking about something else. And I'll put the link in. When you listen to this again, go back and listen to that responsible for. You can there's a whole difference in how she says those two words that tells you she's not thinking about the words she's saying. She's thinking about her next thought.
Through the Children's Defense Fund and other efforts to try to give kids, particularly poor kids, particularly, you know, black kids, Hispanic kids, the same chance to live up to their own God-given potential as any other kid. That's where I've been focused. And I think that there has to be a reckoning. I agree with that. But I also think there has to be some positive vision and plan that you can move people toward. I mean, once you set...
There's a lot of flavor in her voice. Can you hear that? And I put the link in for everybody. When you look at her voice, it's a combination of feel, blue, and yellow, sync. And those charts, again, are on the site for you to pull down and use. There's also tutorials that are available for anyone who wants more information about what is going on with the Nano Voice. And I just found the link. I will put it in chat for you. If you could put it in chat over there at Blog Talk, that would be great. So E represents wet, moist tissues, nose, throat, lungs. It also, with D sharp, represents oxygenation to your cells. A sharp represents your immune system. It also represents the non-physical, the soul stuff. So we're looking at E, the words of the soul. She was telling the truth here. We can look at her numeric values. She has almost an entirely filled, balanced male perspective foundation. She has very high F-sharp in fantasy, not in reality, so she thinks she can do some good. But I will still say again, I think Hillary wants the position, she doesn't want the job. She wants to go down in history as being the first woman president. She's not really interested much in the job. The other thing that we did with her is we ran what's called a frequency domain vocal print. And it looks like vocal prints of a lot of other people who have heart issues, who have a deterioration of the electrical system to the muscles and particularly to the heart. We have a long-term position in a chart, and that's over near 900 to 1,000. And she has some frequencies that are very, very high, and those frequencies deal with the biochemistry of circulation and the heart. I also see some familiar things with other people that have ended up telling us that they have some blood sugar issues. There's inflammation in the architecture of the chart, any chart that has these little globs of, looks like blue paint in them. So like other people who have the same kind of chart, there's inflammation in the circulation of the heart and the biochemistry of using energy or blood sugar. Is that an issue for someone running for president? Well, there's another issue that's in her chart that she shares with Ronald Reagan, and that's some tendencies toward not being able to use inositol and choline to keep serum amyloids out of the brain. So those are just things that are like other people. I don't know that she has any of these issues. I don't have any right to say whether she does or not. I'm just making the statement that other people who have had these issues have a very, very similar chart to hers. Any surprises there, Richard?
No, I was thinking about watching her, the footage where she was talking to those people, and how I could hear the or feel the shift in her voice when she, that pause where she was thinking about what she was saying as she was talking, and then she stepped into what she was saying, and how that she has such an, the other part is, I think it's really interesting, how I love the numbers, is that she has such a strong foundational level of, you know, male voice. Considering for most of all of her political life, she's lived in a male-dominated domain. I just think it's really interesting that she's developed that as a skill.
People are going to jump on us and say, male and female, why are you, it's just an aggressive tendency. It's a tendency for the voice to be low. It could be just a lack of female hormones, which it does show in this chart compared to others that might be an issue. So am I going to write this up and publish it? I'd like your opinion. Lots of opinions in chat today. I think a lot of women are being tutored in politics to lower their voice. It sounds more authoritative. Absolutely. So once you start looking and thinking about vocal profiling, you'll be able to hear a lot more in people's voices. But think about, do you have the right to challenge them or not? Don't believe people's words. Believe the sounds of their voice and verify that using bioacoustics and the little nano voice that's free. And we're very happy that you joined us. Thank you for being here.
Thanks, everybody. Have a great rest of the week. Sunday, we're talking to somebody. I just can't remember who right now.
Donna Sebo.
That's it. Thank you.
Donna Sebo is back with us. Remember last time when everybody loved all of those personal readings she did? Well,
right.
She's going to come back.
Awesome.
And if all of you liked this program, if you think it contributes to what's going on politically, please let other people know that they can go back and listen to this on Blog Talk Radio, and that's on the radio page of our site, right on the right-hand side. Well, we have to get not only to radio, but in this case to Direction for Truth. And I just lied. It's on happy hour. We never can find it.
It's somewhere. It's never where I think it is. Nope.
Not there either.
Home
maybe page,
Blog Talk
maybe.
Radio. Let's try home.
Not home.
Nope. Okay. So while you're looking for that, I'll tell people another way to find it. You can always find all of our shows by going to iTunes, if you're iTunes inclined, and searching in podcasts for Sherry Edwards, and all the shows we've done over the past 100 years are there. There's the player. Sherry's showing us the player now, which is where? Blog Talk Radio? Yeah.
Sound
Health
Blog
Options. So it's Sound Health Options, then click on Radio, and then click on Blog Talk Radio. And there's a player right there. If you go to iTunes and find them there, you can listen. You can also find them at an app called Stitcher for free. Cross-platform, and one of the things I would like about the Stitcher app is it's easy to send somebody a show that you like. You can just email it right from within the program. Here, listen to this. This is important. So if you think this information is important, that's a great way to get people to hear it.
And I'm grabbing the chat now and saving it from each show because every show, the people who are listening to the show contribute and make the chat a part of the show and make it so much richer. So thank you for doing that, and thank you, Richard.
Thank you.
For
that
being
was
part of the show.
Fun. Fun? This is not happy hour. This is Direction for Truth. Yeah,
and if you want more of this, please tell us. And if you hate the show, let us know, too, because we don't want to be doing something you don't want to hear.
Exactly. All right, everybody, have a great rest of the week, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye.
Later.